Welcome, everybody. I'm Roger Malko. Welcome to both the machine learning scientists and the teachers. Who's the teachers out there? Which one of you, how many of you high school teachers subject your students to the SIN test, the Sir Isaac Newton test at the University of Waterloo? Have you ever heard of this? I'm the chief architect of that test. So, you know, just by way of introduction, if your students hate you because of that test, it's because of me. So, we've actually sent that test out. So if you haven't heard of it, the Sir Isaac Newton test is a scholarship test. Like, it's the University of Waterloo entrance scholarship test for high school students. And we've just sort of expanded into China. And we've been giving this test to thousands of students a year. So China actually sent us back metrics about the performance of the Chinese continent and how the students have done. And they told us that the Sir Isaac Newton test is the second hardest in the world after Princeton's test. So for those of you that haven't heard about it, I recommend that you subject your students to the SIN test when they're in grade 12, I guess. Is that, I'm not from Ontario, so. However it works here. Anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about. That's not what we're here to talk about. So it's a great pleasure to introduce Tanisha Bassan, who is a high school student or just recently graduated high school. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I met Tanisha at the Creative Destruction Labs, which is a startup incubator in Toronto. If you haven't heard of it, it's somehow a cross between Y Combinator and, well, it doesn't have space, so I don't know what the other element of that cross section is, but it's meant to sort of provide support to seed stage startups, and it's run out of the Rotman School of Business at the University of Toronto. So I'm the chief scientist in what's called the quantum machine learning stream of the Creative Destruction Lab. So there's a stream dedicated to startups based on technology that underlies quantum computing and machine learning. And apparently I found out as I was at one of the meetings at Creative Destruction Labs, they have a program for high school students. What's it called?
It's like high school girls mentorship program, something like that.
High school girls mentorship program. They bring a group of high school girls into CDL, and all of the girls are interested in shadowing the MBAs, you know, the master's business, whatever that stands for, the business students who are at the Rotman School, except for one. And that one person who was shadowing me for the day was Tanisha, so that's how we met. And as a chief scientist, I do the technical evaluations. I don't do anything, I have no business sense at all. I have no idea what's going on. So we actually, together that day, did technical evaluations on all the quantum machine learning startups. Well, that's long story short. Mm-hmm. So what Tanisha's gonna talk to us a little bit about today is sort of her experience as a high school student in places like CDL, hackathons, maybe things like that. Whatever she's done in terms of this quantum computing, navigating the quantum computing field as a high school student. Without further ado, let us please welcome Tanisha.
Thank you, everyone. I've heard you probably had a really long day because of Roger from like the jam-packed schedule that's been out. So bear with me, but this is gonna be super lighthearted. I'm basically just talking about what I've been through as I've become passionate about quantum computing in the past 2 years. So it began when I attended my first conference ever. I was, I think, 15 years old, or 15 or 16, and I had no idea what technology even meant, but I was interested about physics from like when I was very young. And fortunately, at that conference, I met someone who spoke about quantum computing, and he was from D-Wave. After hearing him talk, I think my mind was blown. I've never felt like that before. There was this initial spark of curiosity that kind of never went away. After hearing about what quantum computing is and the applications it can have in the future, I think I went crazy. I had to learn more. I was so interested and I was so deeply passionate about wanting to know how this could potentially alter or change how we do computation. And the intersection of, you know, understanding the physics of how it's made and all the fun stuff around tech. So that was how I kind of began my journey 2 years ago. I'm 18 now, so probably when I was 16. And so over the past 2 years, this passion has obviously grown a lot. I've had some really unique experiences, and it's only come because I've had great mentors like Roger and been able to actually have the environment around me to pursue a passion that's so different from what's taught in school. I know no one else in my class or in my physics class was learning about quantum computing or even knew what it was. But for me, it meant everything. It was like what I wanted to do at this moment and potentially see myself in this field in the future. And so here I'm going to talk about a couple of things that I went through. And these are just a bit of a summary. And it's been a hell of a ride. And I have to thank a lot of the people who have helped me on my journey. So first of all, it began with Roger as I met him at CDL. And he became probably one of my first ever mentors. And I had no, like, I'm just a normal, like, high school kid. I was interested in something new. And I learned a bit about it online, reading stuff on the internet, those pop science articles I'm so guilty of. But spending a day with Roger really helped me understand where this field is going. And he explained so many complex topics in such an easy way. And having this kind of guidance made me more and more curious and more confident that I could, as a high school student who had no PhDs or no understanding about all this high-level physics, could go and learn about such an interesting but complex topic. And so I really thank Roger for all that he's done and also inviting me here today. So when I think about how do I learn such a complex topic like quantum computing when I was still writing my like high school like exams, and obviously I love Richard Feynman. He's an awesome person to follow, and I love his book, if any of you have read it, his autobiography. So one of the things he says is that if you want to learn something, you have to teach it. And so I kind of took this to heart, and I started thinking about how can I learn such a complex topic and distill all this huge types of information in a way that's easy for me to understand and also easy for others who are also like me, who want to learn about this field. And so I started my journey with writing articles, and they're pretty basic. It was just what I wanted to know at the time. So I did a bunch of research and took topics that I was interested about, like learning about what decoherence even meant, or the beginning of quantum computing, and what's the introduction if there was one. When I was researching at that time, none of these articles or these resources were really available. So I started writing them, and that really helped me learn so much more quickly, because I was taking a complex topic and putting it into my own words, which meant that I was teaching myself and also others what quantum computing even meant. And so this is how I started like slowly gaining a bit of my like knowledge in this field. And so another really amazing thing happened is that I think the April of last year, Rigetti announced their first quantum computing hackathon. And I was on their Slack channel when I heard about this, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to go and attend this. This is crazy. The world's first quantum computing hackathon, and getting to see like Rigetti's real quantum computers up close. And I was only like 17, I think. That was amazing. So obviously I reached out to Rigetti and got like a bunch of people to help me fly down to San Francisco and attend this hackathon. And it was absolutely life-changing, because I had no idea that I could go one step further and start learning about how you can start programming these computers and how to think about that. And so at this hackathon, I met a lot of people from Rigetti, also really amazing smart people who helped me understand what quantum computing and quantum programming meant and helped me along my project that I was working on. And this kind of began my journey into thinking about what I could create on my own at home and like leveraging these like quantum softwares that are available now through Rigetti, IBM, Google, et cetera, and thinking about how if I could start making something of my own, that would really help me understand this complex topic even more. So one of the things that I worked on, and my friend here is in the crowd, she was there with me, I was at the IBM Hackathon in New York this February, and this is one of the projects that I got to work on with really amazing people again, and this was on something called Quantum Random Walks, and we used like Qiskit to create this program. But this was also like throughout the years, kind of a showcase of how I could start applying with the projects that I've started to build over the past year and come together and work with a team of PhDs at this hackathon and create something. So this was really memorable for me. And I started to like feel even more confident in my ability to actually start creating things in this field. Even if I couldn't do the hardware, which is really obviously very, very hard, I could start understanding the underlying software of how this stuff really works. And then I decided to go a step further and get more technical knowledge. So I heard that the University of Toronto was holding their first quantum computing grad course, and Professor Henry Yun was teaching it. And so I decided to go and audit the whole semester. And so it was like Wednesday after school, I would like go downtown and attend this class for 2.5 hours and learn about the basics of what quantum computing was in an actual class environment. And this was a grad course, which I wasn't allowed to be in, but like thankfully the professor let me stay. And this is really, really unique to me as well, because I learned a lot about the technicality from an expert, and then I got to also work on a personal project with the rest of my classmates at the end. And this is when I got really interested in the intersection of quantum machine learning. Fits the theme today really well. So when I worked on a project around quantum machine learning, I started reading a lot of research papers and trying to understand it. It's so hard. I still need to like a lot of work to understand how these two things will work and what the field of quantum machining will look like and what its application are gonna be like. But I was really happy that I got to at least work on my own project at the end. And what was really interesting is that it led me to unlock a lot of more opportunities. So I actually am a small contributor of this article online where on Singularity Hub, where they're talking about how quantum machine learning or quantum computing could boost machine learning. And I also won an award for young innovators to watch in 2019 for the project that I did on quantum machine learning. And this was like, I never expected this. Like, this isn't what I wanted initially. I just wanted to learn. But a lot of these really cool things started happening to me. And I started to make the connections. It all started because I found something that I was passionate in or really curious about. And I started to just dive deeper and try to understand it and learn more about this field. And then getting all this like positive feedback made me even more and more excited to keep continuing my hard work and challenging myself, even if I still hadn't finished high school and still needed a lot of background knowledge to really understand this field. And so if I had to sum up my whole experience so far, there's three takeaways that I want to share. And these are very, maybe cliche and very basic, but they mean a lot to me. Because as I tried to learn something like quantum computing, I went through an emotional roller coaster. There was so much to learn, and I felt so unconfident. But I think over the time, it's made me actually a stronger person, made me so much more confident in my ability to understand something so complex and allow me to pursue even bigger goals in the future. And so the first one is, don't be afraid of being a beginner. When I don't have a PhD, I don't have any like technical knowledge in this field at all, but I think just starting somewhere, which was really daunting at first, really helped me just take the first initial steps in trying to understand this field from a different perspective, from a high school perspective, and what this could mean. And the next one is, find great mentors to support you. Roger is one great mentor that I have, and I've been able to meet really amazing people throughout the past 2 years. And I think just the guidance and the support people around you give you really helps motivate you further. And I think the best ways to learn is to get an expert who knows this stuff really well to explain things in easy ways or using analogies. Because I really started to learn intuitively a lot of things in that way. The last one would be, the more content you create, the more you learn. So I've kind of taken this to heart, and I've gotten busy over the past couple months as I graduate high school, but I want to get back into realizing that the more stuff that I create, the more content, the more videos, the more articles that I write, the more opportunities I have, not to just share with the world, but obviously learn for myself. And that's the most important, because I love to learn, and I love learning about quantum computing especially. So I think just creating as much content as I could will be absolutely amazing. And the best part is I get to not just keep it for myself, but share it with more people like me. Hopefully more high school students who also maybe just need that first initial step to get interested and go deeper in this field, just like I have. So that's kind of like where my journey is at. The future plans I have is I'm going to university in September, and I want to continue working on working with experts in the quantum machine learning field and trying to understand this research area a lot better and build my own skills and knowledge, and then pursue physics as an undergrad to help me boost my technical knowledge and understanding in this field in the future. Thank you. Yeah, I think so. I met a special teacher. His name's Mr. Luduc. He was actually someone I didn't get along with at first because he was so hard on me, and I wanted to not go to his class. And he made me feel like I could never understand physics, so I didn't like that. But in the end, he actually ended up being like a really valuable teacher because he helped me understand and learn a lot. And I know at the end, so in June when I graduated, he also gave me the opportunity to talk about quantum computing at my school to inspire kids from my school who have no idea what I was doing. And so I think that was really memorable for me. So obviously, like my physics teacher, I would thank him. No, it didn't happen like that. So I started going, like I started attending more conferences and just getting into like the tech scene in Toronto. And I heard about this high school girls mentorship program happening. And I think this really happened is because I went out and looked for opportunities. Like I didn't wait for it to come to me. I was like really working hard. Like how can I learn more, go to more conferences, meet more people and things like that. And so when I heard about CDL, I had no idea what it really was, but I was like, okay, I'll go. And then I learned that, oh, they actually have a quantum machine learning field. So I messaged the head of the program at that time. And I'm like, I want to be with someone who is going to be judging the quantum machine learning startups and be paired with like someone like Roger, because I think like spending a day with someone like that would be like an amazing opportunity. And so that's kind of how it happened.
Hello, check.
So this isn't a teaching question, but I was just checking out your website. And can you tell us about meeting Michelle Obama and what you learned from her?
So that's kind of like like an attention-grabbing like sentence. I didn't like, so I went to, 2 years ago, she came to Toronto for like a woman empowerment kind of event. And I got sponsored to go. And there, like I got to meet, so Sophie Trudeau was there. I have a picture with Sophie Trudeau, which is pretty awesome. So there, Michelle Obama was kind of speaking about what it means to be a woman in tech and like how to stand up for yourself and all these really encouraging words. And I obviously was really inspired. And I got to see her in real life. Unfortunately, I didn't actually get to like talk to her one-on-one, but it was still the same. Like she was such an amazing person to just listen to, especially for all the women in the crowd. So that was that experience. Any other questions?
Just curious, it sounds like you're coming, there's two ways to approach this. You're looking into the physics involved in the machine, and then the machine learning is coming into play. Did you do any computer programming in high school? And if, like right now, is there a language, or what do you do on the computer programming end to kind of bring the two together?
Yeah, so I, Two years ago, I started like teaching myself Python just online because there's so many online courses, and that's how I began like my first like just self-taught like beginner's course in Python, and I realized like it's actually a really valuable like programming language to know, and I think if anyone wants to start, Python is great, and so that's how I started like programming in Python. That was before I knew what quantum computing was, and then. When I realized that, like looking at the software programs of the programs that like IBM and everyone is developing, it's based on Python. So I think if people are really interested, like Python for anyways is a really good language to know. And then kind of having like a little basics in it helped me like actually easily kind of like understand how to like create the programs in on the IBM software, for example, because a lot of them use Python. I know Microsoft uses like Q#, which is based off C#, which is a bit different. But most of the other ones are just Python based. And then after that, I actually took a coding class, like a computer science class in grade 12 this past year, also in Python, so that helped me as well.
So will you take a computer science class in university?
Maybe as an elective, yeah. I found it's an interesting tool to have, like to be able to like program, but like I still like physics more than I like the theoretical computer science, so that's where my interest lies. But definitely like when university comes, I think being good at programming and having like a technical knowledge is just a skill that will be so valuable in the future. And I think like most young people should at least have the basics in coding because it's becoming more and more like a second language.
Thank you for your talk. I was wondering if there are any specific online resources that helped you learn quantum computing?
So when I started, it was a pretty rough ride because the only things I could find were like these like science pop articles. And which is why I decided to like write my own articles. But I think in the very beginning, learning about it was really hard because I honestly couldn't find the materials. But then I think written materials kind of weren't as available, but video lectures were. So for example, like the Perimeter Institute has like a lot of lectures you can like listen to and learn about. So using YouTube, that was probably very, very valuable. So that's how I started learning at first. And like now over the time, like there's actually a lot of great resources now. Like IBM, if you go to their website, there's a good, like they have a lot of great content to like showcase if you're interested in getting into understanding quantum computing. But at first I think it was like videos and then creating the written content for myself. And then like learn by doing.
At this point, what's your end goal for your career?
Oh, so I have no idea. But okay, so this is like the great ambition. What really excites me about quantum computing is just thinking about like maybe down like 50 years down the road, whenever this happens, but like a device that could simulate like the complexities that we don't understand in our world today. And I think that's so important because a lot of the problems we can't solve today are because they're too complex to simulate or understand, like climate change or so many other things that we think about today. And I think like quantum computers, when they are at that level, could be so powerful in helping like solving some of the world's hardest hardest problems, and I say this so often. And I think like that's like heavily tied towards a lot of my motivation, my ambition, because I think like besides like the technical aspect, like it also has really good potential to be a technology that could change so many people's lives. And so I'm hoping in the future, maybe, I don't know what it'll be, maybe it'll be like, I don't know, intersection of quantum machine learning or whatever happens, but like being somewhere where I can use technology as an application to solve really important problems in the world.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for your nice talk. So I actually teach graduate courses here at the Perimeter Institute, and so I'm interested about your experience taking a grad course at University of Toronto. So. Mm-hmm. What I find hard when I'm teaching is, you know, finding a balance between technical details and communicating the big picture. And so I'm wondering, you know, probably attending a grad course, some of it was maybe a bit technical if you don't have the background. So I'm curious, like, what was most effective for you in that course?
Yeah, so I think my teacher was really good. The professor was really good at explaining, and no, he was really wonderful. I'm so thankful that he taught the course, because he did a really good job at, you know, explaining these concepts, because it was, like, obviously I didn't have the background, but there's a lot of other students who came from maybe just math or computer science who didn't really understand the physics. So in a way, a lot of us were kind of like new to this idea. And so I think he did a really good job at teaching. And so again, like whenever I had problems, and I'm not saying I understood everything in that course, maybe like, I don't know, like 50 to 70%. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I think whenever I was stuck on something, I would ask him for help after class. Like, can you explain this to me again? And they might be just like a stupid question or to ask. But like, I did it anyways. And I think that really helped because obviously he's like, really, he knows his stuff. So he was able to distill it down in like words or diagrams that helped me understand. So that was a technique that like, or ways that I used to understand some, like most, a lot of the content in that class. And then I think like working on the project was really special as well, because it allowed me to just run into problems and then figure it out by myself and then ask for help constantly.
Teacher's last chance.
Did you write the same test?
Oh, no.
No more sim test questions.
Oh.
Oh,
I'd just like to follow up on the previous question briefly, since I too teach a course on quantum information, quantum computing. At that level, and it's possible none of my students would regard me as the great instructor that you probably had, but what I try to do with the undergraduates who take that course after I've screened them is explain to them what makes this subject so much fun for me to teach, which is that when I was an undergraduate in physics, you go through the entire history. You know, you start out somewhere in the 17th century with Newton, whose test apparently causes problems for people in this country. And, you know, sometime you later get into the 19th century. And then if you're lucky, when you're a senior, you'll be somewhere in the early 20th century. Whereas quantum computing is this wonderful subject where I can bring undergraduates right up to the edge of being able to, you know, it's this holy grail to suddenly be able to read research articles in a subject. And so when you mention the 50 to 70%, that's my criterion when I can bring an undergraduate able to, you know, understand 50 to 75% of some article that just came out, you know, the previous week in the subject area. So, of course, I'm wondering if that's also the experience you ultimately had, if you made it to that level where, again, you know, this question of background comes up. It's mystifying to me how you could do it without, you know, the linear algebra and the, you know, Hilbert spaces on complex n-dimensional vector spaces, which really requires the linear algebra background.
Yeah, I think I definitely had a similar experience, and I tried to understand the math as best as I could at my ability. And I think, again, I think you're right in the sense that quantum computing is this like interesting area, because I think for me, what really helped me learn is like putting together like the big picture by myself. So being able to understand like, oh, this is how something works, and then studying understanding how something works, and then studying like, oh, how does it work? Like it uses these phenomenons in physics or whatever. So I think like thinking about the application first, which is quantum computing, and then breaking it down further into like how it works, is probably like how I tried to learn best. I don't know if that like kind of answers your question. That made sense.
Well, that, you know, the personal methodology for learning is hard for another person to empathize with, potentially. But I'm just wondering if you got to the point to reading, real live cutting edge research articles.
Oh, yeah. That was one source. So I actually do try to read research papers, and it takes me, when I try to read it, I think like the first time I read it, I understand maybe like 15% the words that are familiar to me, and then
Sorry.
No problem. So if I really want to read a research paper, I like read it once and I read it a couple times, and then I try to understand the parts that I really don't understand. And so using that technique, I've actually gotten probably a lot better at reading research papers, up to the point where I can understand like 50 to 70%. And I think reading them has helped me also learn a lot, because that was kind of the only content I could find when I was trying to learn. It was just the research papers, which at first was like so completely daunting because I had no idea what they were saying. But I was slowly picking it apart like little by little, and then the knowledge builds on. So like a year later, I was obviously like my background knowledge has like helped me understand maybe now 30% when I read it, and then like continue to pick apart things I don't understand and then read them.
My name's Isaac. I'm a scientist at the National Research Council. I just wanted to say, so normally my job is to do research. And I'm lucky if I understand 50% of a research paper myself. So you're in good company if you have to read the paper over and over again. So that's totally normal.
Okay, yeah. Like it would take me maybe like a week, 2 weeks.
Yeah, no,
three.
Same.
The other short answer, Paul, is Canadian public high school. That makes everything. Paul's from America. So. Just they do, probably. Yeah, they do, yeah. Do they still have finite? Is that still a class? I don't know. I didn't take school in Ontario, obviously. Question.
In the audience, I'm going to say I'm about a generation in the middle, and you're probably the youngest in the room. So I have a question for the younger generation. How did you find being a woman in your field or your high school or in your aspirations? I wonder if you found it a hindrance or an asset, or it maybe didn't register as relevant at all?
So I kind of never really thought about like at first like being a woman. Like I think in school I've never really felt that way before. Like I just kind of did my own thing, so I never really felt that prejudice before. But like as I slowly just like see more and more experiences, I'm realizing that yes, there is like some sort of disparity between the women and men, and I'm not personally affected by it too much. So I don't know if I can really answer to like that question, but if I was honest, I don't know, this is just maybe personally me, and maybe because I just haven't had as much life experience either, but I actually find it like sometimes as an asset to be like the only woman in the room or something like that, because it allows me to be, for me, like I love being trying, like being challenged. And if I'm in a room where I'm the old, like I'm just an individual, it's like the most uncomfortable situation for me. And I think like being in that environment allows me to like learn a lot. Because if I'm super uncomfortable, I'm doing things that I wouldn't really do, and I'm challenging myself. So if I'm talking to, you know, boys or whoever who are a lot smarter than me, or I don't know, maybe you're a little mean or whatever, I'm at least like engaging with them and actually learning a lot as well. So I personally find it as an asset to be a woman whenever a minority. And but I can't really say I've had too many like bad experiences to base on. Maybe my opinion will change, but later on, I'm not sure. But I don't want to say too much. But like I think it's just good to do your own thing, regardless of what gender.
One last question, Tanisha.
Okay.
What advice do you have for the high school teachers here? Those who teach, you know, students like yourself. What do you wish that they knew when they were teaching you in high school?
So I think I wish I had more of this when I was learning in high school myself from through teachers, is that allowing, like I want to ask as many questions as I can. I want to be in an environment where if I don't understand the simplest thing, I want to be able to ask that question and then go deeper. Like sometimes, like the thing that we do in high school, for me, from my experience, is that we learn equations, we learn all these things, but we just learn it. We don't understand why it's important or where it came from. And to me, like that was a big problem, because if I didn't understand the why, it made me like not really understand like what I was even doing. I could do like the math or whatever, but I just didn't intuitively understand it, and that essentially made me more and more unmotivated to do the work. And so I wish I had more, and I have a teachers like this, but I wish most teachers or all teachers allowed me to understand the why first and allow me to ask as many questions as I can in a classroom, and then also let me fail and figure out by myself. So like one of my teachers, what he did is like he would write a problem on the board that we've never done before and tell us to attempt doing it and give us time to do it. And I really liked that, because at first I have no idea how to approach this problem. Like he didn't really teach me what this concept was, but like it got me to think about it first and then ask for the answer. So in doing that, I like try to figure it out on my own, and I was most of the times wrong, or I didn't really get it right. But then going back and looking at the answer, it made things started to click so much more easily. So I like love that sort of environment where I'm allowed to fail and learn by myself. And then also understand the why and ask as many questions as I can, which I don't know if everyone's asking so many questions, how that would look in a classroom. But like that was like personally me, because sometimes students feel afraid to ask questions or get shoot down and things like that. And I think those are the moments that are so crucial, because things like math or physics, if you don't understand one concept, it can it builds on, and then the rest of the concepts don't make sense. And then someone who could have been really good at understanding this now feels unmotivated and feels like they can't do something when it was just the way they like just a learning technique that they had to grasp. Yeah.
Tanisha and her mother drove all the way here from downtown Toronto for this. Let's thank them very much for your talk. Thank you.